have you been working as a computer or technology professional?
Since 1972, 50 years, because my college major was electrical engineering. And I graduated high school in 1972. I started in electrical engineering. Actually, it was electrical engineering. I think I said computer engineering. It was electrical engineering in fall of 72. So if you count college, then it's 50 years. If you don't count college, then it's 43.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yes, yes. When I started, there were almost no women in engineering. I would have people, the other guys in the class, on the first day of the class, they would ask me, are you sure you're in the right class? Yeah. I would say, yes, I'm sure.
So what was it like generally being the first or one of the first few women in that class?
Well, there were a few interesting experiences, but overall, it was fabulous. I loved it. And once the guys got to know me, we became great friends. Everyone, we got along really, really well. It was actually, I would say, a fabulous time. It was just maybe the very first time I was being in a class with them, they might not know who I was and why I was there. And in fact, after I did my bachelor's in electrical engineering, I went to Stanford for a master's in electrical engineering. In my very first class, on my very first day at Stanford, the class was in a small auditorium. Every seat in the room got taken except the seat to my left and my right. Oh. And then one more person, yeah, and then one more person came in and they had to sit next to me. But I don't read that as discrimination. I don't read it as unfriendliness. I just read it as, in general, and you know, I hesitate to generalize, engineers sometimes don't have the best social skills. You know, because they're very left brain, they're very technical, they're very intellectual. And that happened in 1979. So that was 43 years ago. Things have changed a lot. You know, and it was just that first day or two, they got to know me. We, like I said, we became great friends. There was no problem at all after that.
Oh, good. So what would you say are the most important things that changed for you since?
Yeah, I would say it's wonderful that there's much more diversity. Mm-hmm. There's many, many more women. When I went through college, I would say, women in the classes were fewer than 10% of the class. And entry-level classes today, it's 50-50, if not more so, women than men. Now, unfortunately, from what I hear, and I don't have any data to back this up, so I don't know whether it's true or not, the women tend to drop out more than the men do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the statistics are for graduating classes. I don't know.
On the other hand, how important do you think it is that women enter more male-dominated professions, like tech, for example?
I think it is extremely important because we will not have equality in the world until women are free to choose to do what they want to do. I don't see that engineering skills are, well, some people might argue with me, but I think women can like math just as much as men do. You know, women can like engineering just as much as men. I believe that there is a lot of socialization to socialize that out of women when they're in elementary school, junior high school, and high school. But I don't, my vision is that we have a completely diverse and completely equitable society, and anyone can do anything that they want. They can be anything that they want. And so therefore, I think it's very important that women be in engineering and tech. The other thing I'll say as a side note, I was not aware of this at the time, but I think a big reason I went into tech, besides that I love math, was that I wanted to be financially independent. And I saw that as a way to be financially independent. Although again, I would say, I don't think I was consciously aware of that then. Mm-hmm. Then I went into tech because I loved math. I loved figuring out how things work. That was just who I was, you know? But later, I think I also realized that I wanted to be independent, and that's a great way to do it. And that's another reason for women to go into tech, to get careers where they can be independent if they want to, to have a career where they could be the breadwinner and their partner stays home, whether their partner is male or female, you know? It just gives a lot more options in life when you can support yourself.
True, yeah. So what would you say, how can we interest more young women, for example, women my age in technology careers?
I think the best way to do that is, number one, is to showcase women who are in tech and help them be more visible in society. But I think the most important thing to do is to have a STEM emphasis for girls in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
It has to start first grade.
Yeah.
And be supported continuously throughout all of their elementary and secondary education. I think women, girls get socialized out of technology very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time they're 8. And so I think that's the most important thing to do for older girls and women. Just find ways to make women in tech more visible. I think part of that would happen if corporations work to have equality in their executive staff. Like even the company I work for,
mm-hmm.
out of the top 10 people in the company, maybe one is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I work for a solar company that's very progressive, and they are actively working on changing that. But today, that's where they are. So that needs to change. The executive staff should be 50-50, you know? And that, I think, is going to be a very long, long slog to get that to happen.
Yeah, I think that will take some time as well, but I see some change, and that's good.
Yes, yes. But the other thing I would say, this has been an issue, I would say, since women began returning to the workforce in numbers, which is probably around the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had 50 years. How is 50 years not enough time to get women in executive positions? Because the classic argument is, oh, well, they don't have the experience. Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I can only hope as equality is supported more and more in terms of diversity with so many other areas, you know, sexual preference, race, religion, et cetera, I can only hope that that carries over to gender equality at executive levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so too, because I think, I don't know, it sounds mean, but sometimes I have the feeling that there are just some places where women are like kept small by men that are in executive positions, and it just feels odd because sometimes the women are even better than the ones that are higher rank than the others.
So absolutely, absolutely true. Yes, yeah. You know, and then my heart goes out to women who might have a disability. Mm-hmm. They might be African American. You know, they might be obese. Well, what about them? I am grateful that by the 70s when I went into engineering, there had already been women ahead of me. Mm-hmm. Who helped open that door. Now, I would have done it regardless because that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it, but it was a little bit easier because other women had gone ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a lot easier if you see people already doing it.
Yes, yes.
So as far as I know, you're currently working in tech, right?
Yes.
So could you share what it is, what you do, and what kind of a typical work day looks like for you?
Sure. So my company monitors and maintains solar systems, because what happens is homeowners can get solar on the roof in a variety of ways. One, they can buy the system outright, and then they own the system. But what happens if it breaks? Mm-hmm. They don't know how to fix it. You know, 99.9% of homeowners have no idea how to fix their solar system. So then they've got to go hire someone to find out what's wrong and fix it. Well, we have a program where We will monitor their system for them. We will be able to tell when it's not working well, and we can give them a call and let them know. And there's a lot of things we can do over the phone to walk them through resetting their system, just cycling the power, you know, turn it off, turn it on, that will solve a lot of problems. And so we can get it fixed for them over the phone, you know, in 20 minutes. Yeah, if it's something else that can't be fixed over the phone, then we can send a truck out and they'll fix it for them. So that's for people who own their systems. Then there's people who take out a loan on their system. So technically they own it, but they have a loan. And what happens then, if the system stops working, the homeowners stop paying the loan because their system's broken. So the loan holder needs that system fixed, but the loan holder is typically a bank, it's a financial institution. They don't know how to fix solar. So they call us and then we get in contact with the homeowner and we figure out how to fix it. And then there are some people who lease their systems where they don't own it. The leaseholder owns the system and it's the same thing. If it breaks or stops working, the homeowners stop paying. And then the leaseholder needs to get it fixed, but they're a bank. They don't know how to fix solar. So that's my company has a really sweet little spot in that solar costs a lot of money. A lot of systems are $30,000 to $50,000 for a home system. And when they're working, they generate a very healthy stream of revenue, you know, so it's, they're a good investment, but sometimes they stop working and then nobody knows how to fix it. My company knows how to fix it. So that's what I do is I manage the business relationship between my company and three different lenders. They made loans on the system. And so they'll send me information. This homeowner system isn't working. I have a support team. Omnidian has a support team who creates a support ticket. They call the homeowner, they do all that. But my job is to make sure that happens really well and quickly. And a lot of times there'll be a question like, well, the homeowner says this, but the utility says this, what do I do? And so I need to know how solar works. I need to know how fixing a solar system works. And then I tell them, oh, well, the utility said this, that means this, here's your next step. So pretty much all day long, I'm figuring out technical problems with solar systems and helping guide the support agents in what's the next step to do for that. And then because I manage the business relationship with these lenders, I do weekly and monthly meetings with them to go over all of their cases and, you know, summarize them in terms of what's working well, where are we having troubles. I do financial analysis for them. I look at tickets that the service tickets that it's just taking us a long time to get them closed. And so I will escalate those internally. Let's get these ones fixed, you know. So it requires technical knowledge, it requires interpersonal skills, and it requires marketing and sales kind of knowledge, because I need to know if there's some bad news, I need to know what's the best way to present this to the client, you know, and that's kind of sales and marketing spin. I always am truthful, I'm always in integrity, I always tell them what's happening, but there's a way to present it. In other words, like it would be, first, if I have to give them bad news, I'll say something very positive. I really enjoy working with you guys. I want to do everything I can to support you. Then I tell them the problem. Then I tell them the solution. I don't just tell them the problem. You have to present it with a solution. And then I close with, I look forward to working together to continue to evolve our processes and resolve problems like these going forward.
That sounds really interesting. So it's just not always the same stuff.
Every day is different.
So what would you say is the best part of working in tech for you?
I feel like I get to use my brain. I feel like I can be challenged and I really enjoy that. I feel like there's endless ways to grow and learn more and become better and better at what I do. I really like that.